From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's singer-songwriter Jessica Smucker, who has a great new album called Tumbling After. The official release date is September 25th, and there will be a release party at TELUS 360. The album was produced by Lancaster's own Chad Kinsey.
I really wanted to make sure when I started this project that I picked the right producer, that I had the resources to put behind it, and that I would be in a position to just not compromise on any of the things that I
That's
wanted.
That's cool, yeah. Coming up, it's Jessica Smucker talking about her new album, Tumbling After. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Coming up, it's a big weekend of local music at Lancaster Dispensing Company. On Friday, September 26th at 10 o'clock, Dipco welcomes the Vulcans. And on Saturday, September 27th at 9:30, it's Matt Wheeler and Vintage Heart. Both shows are $5 at the door. The Lancaster Dispensing Company is located at 33 North Market Street in Lancaster. On Saturday, September 27th, TELUS 360 welcomes Younger Me back to the stage. The show starts at 9 o'clock. $5 gets you in the door at TELUS 360 for Younger Me. That's Saturday, September 27th. TELUS is at 24 East King Street in Lancaster. And on Sunday, September 28th, The Triangle presents the Story Slam Storytelling Competition at Aussie and the Fox in downtown Lancaster. This moth-style storytelling slam will help raise money for the Pennsylvania Libraries Association Youth Services Division. The Triangle's Tyler Barton will be the evening's MC. It's $5 to get you in the door, and 10 storytellers' names will be pulled from a hat. You'll have 5 minutes to tell your story without notes. Join the Triangle for a story slam Sunday, September 28th at 8 p.m. It's at Aussie and the Fox, 38 West King Street in Lancaster. On the program today, it's singer-songwriter Jessica Smucker, who has a new album out called Tumbling After. It's Jessica's second full-length studio album, a follow-up to This Broken Moment from 2010. This album was produced by Lancaster producer Chad Kinsey and really features an all-star band along with several notable guest musicians. Jessica, welcome back to the program and congratulations on a great new album.
Thank you.
Let's jump right in and talk about the album. First of all, the big question, what took you so long?
Well, I was really dragging my feet for probably a few years trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to do with this album. It felt like it was time for me to really throw my resources into an album project. I had done 3 recordings previously, 1 full length and 2 EPs, and they were all really great processes for me, working with different producers, different budgets, and that kind of stuff. But I felt like with each one of them, there was something that I sort of held back. A lot of it was financial,
sure,
and that there were things that I wanted to be able to do with the recording that I hadn't realized yet in
yeah.
my musical career. So I really wanted to make sure when I started this project that I picked the right producer, that I had the resources to put behind it, and that I would be in a position to just not compromise on any of the things that I
That's
wanted.
That's cool, yeah. Not be watching the clock.
Right. And I had a band I was working with, and we had talked about recording together, and my drummer was interested in, you know, doing it ourselves, which I think a few years earlier would have been great, and I would have appreciated the money it saved me and all of that. But I just was sort of craving a clean slate and just starting with nothing and working with somebody who was new to my music. And I had known Chad Kinsey for years, I mean, since even before I was doing music. And one of the things that I always knew about him was that he has very high standards and that he's very particular about music, that he's very opinionated about music.
Mm-hmm.
Early in my music career, I would ask him for his opinion after shows, and he always took kind of an interest in what I was doing, but it also, I knew that it never quite met his standards, and he would tell me that, and I loved that about him because I trusted him.
And he's the guy around here to go to with exactly, like if you came to me and said, I really want to start clean, I really want to bring in just a fresh perspective, I want to be produced,
mm-hmm.
I would say Chad.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. He's great at arranging. He's great at hearing a piece of music and just having a vision for it. What I didn't know at first was whether we would be able to work together personality-wise. We always liked each other, but I could see the ways that we might have butted heads.
Yeah.
And there was probably about, I don't know, a year where I was thinking of him as the person, and then I'd be like, no. I can't work with him. That's not going to happen. And I would. It's like my gut was telling me to pick him, and my head was getting in the way and saying, "Oh, there's too many issues there." But ultimately, I think the timing was right when I asked him. I think even if I had approached him 5 or 6 months earlier, it might not have been the right time for him.
Okay.
So.
So what was it like looking back? Like, what was that? Was the experience what you expected? Were there some surprises in that relationship?
I think the big surprise was that we had such a great collaboration. It was almost conflict free. We agreed early on that we would we were co-producing in a way. I mean, he was the producer and I was the artist, but that we were going to agree. Everything would be consensus, as in if there was something that one of us couldn't live with, it wasn't going on the album.
Okay.
And we both agreed to that. And I think throughout the entire process, which, I mean, we were tracking for more than a year.
Wow.
In the entire process, we might have hit 3 times when there was something that one or the other of us would say, like, no, I can't, you know, I can't live with what you're suggesting. But usually we would just give it a couple hours or a couple days. We'd, you know, go away, think about it, and come back. And one or the other of us would have sort of realized that, no, this is good. So the surprising part was just how...
Sounds like a great...
How creative and I think he really... I felt very empowered by his style. Yeah,
he's making a lot of great music right now. He's got a list of people that I keep hearing that mm-hmm. his name come up, and these folks are working with him. Those folks are working with him. So it's exciting to have somebody in town who's really focusing that kind of time and energy.
Because
mm-hmm. you know a lot of people who make records do other things, and they just make they do a project here, a project there. But it seems like that he's really getting busy producing.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that he's doing that. And my album was, I think, the first time that he was working with such a piano heavy album. So that was, there were some aspects of it that were new for him as far as the technology and all of that. And he really went out of his way to get the equipment he needed. If he needed to bring in another person to consult with somebody, I mean, he was very, in some ways, very humble about where his abilities ended and when he needed to call in, backup or
cool.
You know, he would spend the time doing the research on what new pieces
thing.
of equipment he needed to get. And
that's cool. Well, I'd like to hear a little bit more of this record. So we'll start with the song Want You More.
Okay.
You want to set this up for us?
Yeah, actually, so this actually ended up being a co-write with Chad. I had brought the song in, and we had a completely different arrangement. We had a darker, heavier, slower piano arrangement, and it just wasn't working. And but I really felt like it needed to be on the album. I just wanted to make it happen. So I took a trip to London for a couple weeks, and when I came back, Chad kind of sheepishly said, I have something I want to play for you. And he got out his acoustic guitar and he played the song for me with a completely different melody on the chorus. And what was shocking about that was that I loved it.
Nice.
and so we completely scrapped the previous edition of the song. We're actually going to release it for the fans who pre-ordered at a higher level. We're releasing that
as
a kind of extra perk, because it was a beautiful piano arrangement. It just didn't work for the pop song that I wanted. So we took Chad's chorus and created a new song from it. And
that's cool.
So, yeah.
Well, let's have a listen to this.
Okay.
This is Want You More by Jessica Smucker from the new album Tumbling After on Around the Wood Stove. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. On the program today, it's singer-songwriter Jessica Smucker. We're talking about Jessica's new album, Tumbling After. The official release date is September 25th, and there's a Lancaster release party coming up that date at Tele 360. So we'll have links on the show post for that show, and you can visit tele360.com or Jessica's website, jessicasmucker.com, for more information about that. This record was recorded here in Lancaster by producer Chad Kinsey. Now, Chad is known for working with this really top-notch cast of musicians. Like that's sort of a thing that I think around the scene that you know that if you're going to work with Chad, more than likely you're going to be working with some of these all-stars that he works with. And I noticed that some of those usual suspects are a
yes.
core of this band. So let's talk about the band that played specifically on this record. Who's the core?
So the core players are Paul Murr on drums, mm-hmm. Mike Bitts on bass. And then Chad played a good percentage of the guitar parts.
Okay.
I played piano. We started out with an approach that was like, okay, well, we'll see how it goes with me playing the piano. But as many people who listen to my music know, I'm more of a writer than a musician, and for me to keep up with players like that on the piano, it was
sure.
I wanted to have really high standards about it. So what we ended up doing is when I had difficulty just lining up rhythmically on certain songs or getting the right vibe, we actually got Mike Bitts to do a lot of the piano parts.
Oh, that's cool.
And he was fantastic because one of the reasons that I at some point in my career opted to play my own piano, even though in many ways I'd rather have another piano player, is because sometimes you get a keyboard player in who's really good and they just sort of like do this virtuoso thing over everything, and it loses its simplicity and it loses its relevance to the song.
Totally. Keyboard players are known to sort of overplay.
Yeah.
No offense to the keyboard players listening right now.
It's just something that happens. So what was great about Mike Bitz is that, first of all, it's not his primary instrument, although he's a great player. But also that he had a real sensibility about what he wanted to hear in my music. He's worked with singer-songwriters before. He just had the right approach so that Chad could tell him, you know, do your best Jessica impression, except play it in time. and he could do that.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of songs where you can't even really tell where I start and he, you know, I mean, I can't even tell exactly who was playing. I know we have the track list, but so he ended up being really important to the album for that.
Well, I know from the liner notes as well that it's basically a who's who. If you look at the list, and that can't be hard for you to get some of these, really the best musicians in town, being that you've been such a big part of this scene for so long. But what were some of the highlights? Like, and most interestingly, I think I'd be curious to know is, you know, who did you reach out to specifically and say, oh, I'd really like to get so-and-so to play this part?
Well, one of the big surprises, and this is actually somebody that I didn't necessarily reach out to, was Cordy Byron. And I've always loved Cordy's music, but I wouldn't have thought of him for this album.
Sure.
Because he's stylistically so different. But Chad thought, there was one song that he thought, you know, Cordy, it would be really nice to have some of Cordy's guitar on this. And then he came in, and he was really able to, I think he surprised both of us just in how much he was able to break from the usual style that we expect from him.
Yeah.
And while he was in the studio, Chad got the idea to, you know, we were looking for somebody to do some backup vocals on Want You More, the song you just heard. And we thought, oh, you know, let's see what Cordy does. He's here, you know, why not?
Put a mic in front.
You know, the part was a little high for him but he just nailed it. I mean, it didn't take us long to realize that was going to be a pretty amazing contribution. And in some ways, I think he really made the song with that.
That's cool.
So that was a really cool. One of the people that I reached out to was another vocal part, Keith Wilson on Sweet and Broken. From the very beginning of recording that song, Chad and I knew that finding the backup vocalist for that song was going to be really, really important. I'd already recorded a more acoustic version of it, and I wanted to do this sort of rock version. I had very specific ideas in mind of what I wanted there. I was initially thinking a much older voice, almost more of like a Leonard Cohen kind of thing. And we had tried a few different people coming in to sing it, and it just wasn't... Nobody quite got it the way that it needed to be. And then I'm not even sure why it took me so long to think of Keith. We went to high school together, and I've always loved his voice. But I knew that he could do that kind of lower thing, but that he could really, he can really do the high stuff and just kind of like, I don't know, go crazy vocally in ways that I really wanted on that song. So... we got him to come in and he was really into it. And I think it was a tough sell for Chad at first. He wasn't sure. He had heard, you know, some demos and he just wasn't quite sure. And I was like, no, you got to trust me on this. He's going to get it. And he came in and just, I really, really made a pretty amazing vocal performance on that song.
That's really cool, especially because I know that song has a Lancaster tie-in. You know, it's very specific geographically, and I think of him that way as just a Lancaster, sort of iconic Lancaster. I moved to the area when Movies with Heroes was the biggest band in the area, you know, and so my first taste of the Lancaster music scene was really seeing that band going touring the country, and being representative of Lancaster.
That's a really good point because, you know, I had considered trying to get, because, you know, I've traveled a lot and met a lot of musicians that, I mean, even as I was touring during that time, I would, on the road, I would hear male voices and think, oh, maybe I could get them to come in and do this. But I am really glad it ended up being a Lancaster voice.
Yeah, it's really cool tie-in. You do have somebody, a guest in from out of the area, Heather Maloney.
Yes, she was another person that I reached out for, and Chad had seen her perform several times, and so that was an easy sell.
Yeah.
We actually had one song that got cut from the album that she had a more prominent part in. Yeah, she was amazing in the studio. She just came in and did what needed to be done. And
that's cool.
yeah.
Let's shift to another one of the songs on the album. This is The Way Down. Mm-hmm. I think this is my favorite one so far, at least in the listens that I've had with the record. I really like it, and I find it to be a little bit of a departure for you. I didn't want to presume that. I mean, it's just from my perspective, but can you talk about that song a little bit?
Yeah. So it is. It does have a kind of cheerier feel than a lot of my other stuff, and I think it's really important to the album in that sense. It gives people, I don't know, something to sway back and forth to. I wrote the song as I always describe it when I perform it live, that it's a kind of love song, but it's about that moment before you fall in love, when you're just spending time with somebody and you think they're really great, but you're kind of partly afraid of where it's going to go, and partly just want to dive in. So it's kind of, even though it's a cheery song, it doesn't really resolve itself. And I mean, I think the I don't even really remember the real life scenario that
how that ended up.
It's not important. it turned out really, really cool musically. I actually thought that Chad would not like that song as much, because it's kind of like, you know, cheery and girly, and I think it ended up being one of his favorites in what the rhythm section was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Mike Bitts really have a great interaction in that song that I don't know if you would have gotten from any other two players in town, you know.
That's great. Yeah.
And then we had Mike Bitts did the Wurlitzer part on that, and
enough talk about it. Let's listen to it.
Yeah.
This is a song called The Way Down. It's by Jessica Smucker from her new album Tumbling After on Around the Wood Stove. Stovehouse, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stovehouse. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or sign up to get all of the Wood Stovehouse blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. Back to the conversation with Jessica Smucker. We're talking about Tumbling After. It's a new record produced by Lancaster's Chad Kinsey. The release party is on September 25th, Telus 360. Check out telus360.com or jessicasmucker.com for more details about that. So, Jessica, you've been in this game for quite a while now. And I have to admit, I was a little surprised to see this, like, the full CD package, especially now, you know, especially 2014. color booklet, printed lyrics, the whole ball of wax. So tell me, what was your thinking behind going that route, especially now?
I always have fans requesting to have my lyrics included in the album, and it is so much of what drives me to write. I mean, I'm a writer long before I'm a musician, and
right.
And so I feel like that's something that at least my really dedicated fans are interested in. And I think that, I guess I'm a little nostalgic about the album and preserving that idea, and that it just, it's hard for me to imagine just like, you know, going to all the trouble of recording these songs and just doing it digitally or doing a little.
Yeah, right.
So it was kind of fun for me to get into the aesthetic of it. I think having the packaging, it sort of, you know, it sets it up. Whether or not people buy the whole package. And, you know, what I've tried to do is set up a price point that's like, okay, if you want the album with all the packaging and the paper and the, you know, the nice little booklet, that has one price point. You know, if you want to order it on iTunes, you can do that. And that's going to be less right. expensive. And I think it works out both ways. I think there are a lot of people who appreciate my music, who really appreciate that package, you know, enough that, that it was worth doing. Now I did a shorter run for the initial order. It'll be interesting to see when and if I need to reorder the packaging or whether it's going to take off digitally instead. But I felt like doing that was important for a lot of reasons, and maybe some of them are just personal to me.
Or, you know, as a touring musician, you're on the road quite a bit, or have been mm-hmm. in the last few years. Do you find people do you do well digitally, or do you, is it more of an impulse? I'm at the show, I had a great time, I'm going to walk up and buy something.
I definitely sell CDs at shows. Yeah. I mean, and that's where I sell CDs. I don't, if people are ordering online, they're ordering more digitally. So I would say yes. Especially when I'm touring, I'm making CD sales.
It's still a nice personal transaction.
It is.
You know, I don't listen to I don't have CDs that I listen to, but if I do go to a show, I'm more apt to just walk up to the artist, shake a hand, put the money down, go rip it into my computer, mm-hmm. and then, you know, do it as though I downloaded it, rather than saying, well, I'm going to wait and go, you know, download it later. Yeah. You just don't do
now,
that.
Now, I have had the occasional person that's at my show with their laptop open that comes up to me afterwards and says, hey, I downloaded your CD while I was listening.
That's cool.
That's great.
Will you sign my monitor?
Right. And I've also noticed, you know, sometimes I'll have a spike in digital sales in a certain area after a show. So
that's cool.
I know that's happening, but I don't, you know, I rarely travel to do a show and don't sell at least one or two CDs. I mean, I almost always sell something. So
that's cool.
It is really nice to have that package to,
yeah.
to sell.
Well, I know that things, you know, things have changed for you. So you're in a different life space, especially than when you were in 2008.
Yes.
When the Sleeping World EP first came out, and you mm-hmm. were really just kind of starting on this journey. So looking out into the future, you know, what do the fans expect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do things change for you? Are you going to be on the road? Are you going to be, I know you've moved to the DC area. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be building a following there? How's it going to work?
I feel very, very transitional, but also very, kind of at peace with how things are unfolding. I had a couple years stretch there where I was on the road almost constantly. And that was really exhausting for me. It was really important for me to do it.
Sure.
But it was exhausting. I'm an introvert, and I was traveling by myself, so I had the pressure of setting everything up, tearing everything down, doing all the talking to people, and it was. I don't think it was a very sustainable way for me to tour. It's been better since I've been married. My husband's very supportive, and when he comes along, I actually feel some relief. You know, he takes care of some of the things that.
Sure.
But it's not practical for us to be doing that all the time. And I think that for this album, I'm really focusing on trying to do some shows, but to make the shows that I'm doing really count, to be a little bit more selective about where I'm playing, how I'm playing, doing some full band shows, continuing to do some solo shows when I'm branching into a new area.
Sure.
But I'm also really interested in trying to look at some licensing opportunities, trying to place the songs. Now that I have these really solidly produced recordings, I feel like that's something that's a little bit more possible too. So I'm kind of looking into what the digital options are. Obviously I'm very interested in, you know, getting it out there to as many people as I can.
Right.
It's just, there are so many different ways that's done. And I don't know whether to follow the prescribed ways or to try to blaze my own trail. I'm leaning towards just winging it a little bit.
Well, the great thing is that you've got now 6-7 years of a really solid career to reap the benefits of.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can be selective. You know, probably in 2009, 2010, you can't be really just saying, oh, I'm just going to play that
right.
venue and be satisfied with it. Now you have that benefit.
Yeah, that's right. And now that I'm 2 hours away from Lancaster, but still here a lot. I still feel very rooted in the Lancaster music community. But I am excited about being in the DC area, starting to look for some venues to play there. Looking for some. I had played there before, but it's a little bit different when you're.
Sure.
When you're living in the area and you can make those connections in a more naturally occurring way, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, I'll tell you what, congratulations on this brand new album.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the upcoming CD release party. And just look forward to you know, always hearing more from you and see where the journey takes you. Thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me tonight talking about it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You can find out more about today's program by visiting the show post at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced by the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.